We're looking at climate change in the Great Lakes here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Rising temperatures could lower water levels in the Great Lakes. It could intensify harmful algae blooms, threaten fish and wildlife. And this new study by scientists in the Midwest, it amassed peer-reviewed research and drew a number of conclusions, including that the Great Lakes region is warming faster than the rest of the continental U.S. It's getting wetter at a much faster rate than the rest of the country. Do you live on or near one of the Great Lakes? What changes have you seen over the years? What do you keep track of? How do you think climate change is having an impact on the landscape around you? You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Dan Vimond is a UW-Madison professor of atmospheric and oceanic sciences, and he directs the Center for Climatic Research, studying how our physical climate system works, as well as the global and regional impacts of climate change. And he contributed to the Environmental Law and Policy Center's report on how climate change is affecting the Great Lakes. Dan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So you were part of this report from the Environmental Law and Policy Center. What was the intent behind this research?
There are two parts to the report. There's a scientific assessment of what we know about climate change and its impacts in the Great Lakes, and then and that's the part that I contributed to. And there's a number of other scientists on there that was led by Don Wables at Illinois. And then there's a second part to the report, which includes a bunch of policy recommendations, and that came from the Environmental Law Policy Center. And so the intent was to try and assess what we know about climate change, what is already happening in the Great Lakes, and what we might expect. And that goes beyond just understanding changes in temperature and precipitation, but also starting to look at impacts that affect us directly.
And it's really easy to take the Great Lakes for granted. They've been there a heck of a long time, and we might just assume that they'll continue to be there without paying a lot of attention to the finer details and how the health of their health. Can you tell us about the impact that these lakes have on our lives and on our climate?
The Great Lakes, I see them as kind of a national icon. I mean, they're one of the most recognizable geographical features in our entire country. And I imagine that anybody listening has their own personal experience with the Great Lakes and their own reason why they kind of relate to these Great Lakes. Beyond that, there's more than 34 million people who live in the Great Lakes Basin. There's major urban areas that are right on the Great Lakes, and they are responsible for several million dollars, or I'm sorry, billions of dollars worth of economic impact, but really I see them as kind of a national icon. You know, they're like the California coast or the Rocky Mountains. They're something that are just part of our country and are the fabric of our country.
And this report, it doesn't mince words. It says right out of the gate, climate change is causing significant and far-reaching impacts on the Great Lakes and the Great Lakes region. And we're going to get to the specifics, but can you paint us a picture of what this impact is actually looking like?
Some of the changes we've already seen, we know that our temperatures have warmed by about 1.6 degrees Fahrenheit, or about a degree Celsius thereabouts, over the last several decades. And that's likely to continue with an additional 2 to 7 degrees of warming by mid-century. We've been getting wetter, especially this last decade in Wisconsin. Has been kind of an anomaly. We also see changes in kind of extreme rainfall events. So we've seen increases in the frequency of very large rainfall events, and that's likely to continue too. That's all very consistent with climate change projections.
And we thought Lake Superior was kind of avoiding these impacts of climate change for a long time, kind of doing its own thing and able to, you know, not kind of resist these changes, but even Lake Superior is very much impacted by climate change.
Yeah, my understanding is that it's changing quite rapidly, and Lake Superior maybe even more so than some of the other lakes.
So this report, it amassed peer-reviewed research on the Great Lakes, developed conclusions that we're talking about. How does taking a whole bunch of research from all these different places and bringing it together, how does that expose new things?
That's a good question. There's two kind of messages that I take there and what take from that this report. One is actually not a new message, and I think you know, oftentimes we look for the new messages and look for how things change our understanding. In this case, saying the same thing again is really important, and that is that we know that climate is changing in the Great Lakes. We've known this for a long time. We know that the warming is likely to be, you know, an additional 2 to 7 degrees in the next 2 to 7 degrees Fahrenheit in the next, say, 30 years or so. And this is all, this is not new. And so that's actually an important statement, that that when we assess the current state of the science and we look back, a lot of work has continued to be done on this, but the message really hasn't changed in that. And so what that means is that we can be and we should be trying to adapt to these expected changes. That we should also be trying to think about ways to contribute to reducing the expected amount of climate change. What I think is interesting from this report, and what's really kind of an important change in our field, is the way we're putting this information together and trying to understand impacts that are beyond just the temperature and precipitation changes. So this report deals with Great Lakes ecosystems, water quality, agriculture, urban issues, fisheries and wildlife, changes to shipping, changes to recreation. And what I find interesting is that it kind of takes a holistic approach and says, well, what are the various things that impact processes in the Great Lakes, that say physical processes, and how do those then translate to some of these changes?
Talking with Dan Bimont, he is a professor of atmospheric and oceanic sciences at UW-Madison. We're talking about the impact of climate change on the Great Lakes. Gathering your questions along the way at 800-642-1234. What actions would you like to see on behalf of lawmakers on this issue, climate change in the Great Lakes? Have you taken steps in your own life to lower your impact? What questions do you have about the climate research happening here in Wisconsin? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Well, let's look a little bit more closely at one of these big takeaways, that the region is warming faster than the rest of the continental U.S. How much faster are we talking about, and why is that happening?
That's a good question. I'm not sure that we know necessarily why that we're happening, why it's warming a little faster than the rest of the U.S. So the U.S. as a whole has warmed by about 1.2 degrees Fahrenheit, and here in the Great Lakes we've warmed by about 1.6. One of the reasons why that may be occurring is northern regions tend to warm a little more than southern regions, just because of various physical processes in the climate system, like snow cover, for example. When you have a lot of snow cover in wintertime, and especially in the shoulder seasons, that snow reflects the sun's radiation, and so it can keep things colder. When you warm, then you get rid of some of that snow, and then there's that reflective property isn't there anymore. And so that's what we call a snow and ice feedback, and so that may be contributing to some of the warming. Certainly, one thing we've observed in especially in Wisconsin, is that wintertime has warmed a lot more than summertime. The bulk of the warming that we've seen in Wisconsin is in wintertime, and that's all consistent with that kind of a climate change effect. That may be one of the reasons why the Great Lakes as a whole is warming more than the country as a whole.
And you're seeing less ice on the Great Lakes, is that right?
Absolutely. There's a reduction in ice cover in the Great Lakes, and locally in Madison we're definitely seeing that. We have one of the longest time series of ice cover in the world here on Lake Mendota. I think it goes back to the 1860s, and we see a large downward trend in the amount of ice and the duration of ice cover. And that there are impacts there on recreation and in northern for Lake Superior that can be impacts on shipping and transportation.
So when you look at those impacts, higher temperatures, more rainfall, and less ice pack, what is the impact then on perhaps your water quality, your impact on local residents? Where do you see the impacts?
That's one of the things I think is really interesting about this report, is that it looks at kind of a holistic approach to the specific impacts. And so I'll give one example there. We know that the climate's warming in the Great Lakes, and that leads to warmer water temperatures in the Great Lakes, not surprisingly. We also know that precipitation is increasing, and especially these extreme precipitation events. And so combined, the combined effect of these two is that large precipitation events will likely lead to more agricultural runoff or runoff in urban areas as well. And that can lead to increased nutrient flow into the lakes, which can develop harmful algal blooms, which have impacts on water quality, impacts on ecosystems, and potentially impacts on human health as well. And so that's it's a good example of something kind of coming from this report. It's a good example of how we can take a variety of different changes, look at how the Great Lakes in particular respond to those changes, and then relate that to something that is important for just all of us living in the Great Lakes region.
So I hear you saying it's moving through the food chain, moving through the ecosystems, and really penetrating one after another in these areas.
Yeah, it's taking a kind of a systems approach and thinking about how a particular stressor to this system or a particular impact to the system can propagate through to something that affects us directly.
We're talking about the impact of climate change on the Great Lakes as a new study comes out. Dan Vimont is our guide. He is a professor of atmospheric and oceanic sciences at UW-Madison, contributed to the Environmental Law and Policy Center's report on how climate change is affecting the Great Lakes. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. When you think about the future of the Great Lakes, what do you worry about? What changes have you seen in your time on or near the water? Call in. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. A new study finds climate change in the Great Lakes region is happening faster than the rest of the U.S. We're talking about it here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Scientists around the Great Lakes amassed peer-reviewed research to highlight the magnitude of the current changes and what's to come. Among the big takeaways is that summer water temperatures in the lakes have increased over the past six decades. Ice cover dropped dramatically. Do you live on the Great Lakes? What environmental changes have you noticed? What actions would you like to see on behalf of lawmakers on this issue? And have you taken steps in your own personal life to lower your impact? There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. Dan Vimont stays with us. He's a professor of atmospheric and oceanic sciences here at UW-Madison. Let's go to the phones now with Stephen joining us from Oshkosh. Hi, Stephen.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello. Okay, yeah, so my question is, given that high consumption lifestyles are they're really entrenched in both Western and global cultures, even growing globally, and, you know, people are just really slow to change, I guess what hope really do we have of doing any more than just kind of slowing down the rate at which the climate is warming?
Even that's a good question. There's a couple of things that when we talk about doing something about climate change, there's sort of two approaches that we can adapt. One is to try and slow the amount of climate change that's coming and eventually come to stop the rate of change. And then the other one is to do something about, given that we know that a certain amount of climate change is inevitable, we can prepare for those kinds of changes. And so both of those activities are pretty important. In terms of what we can do on a global scale and what we can do to try and slow down climate change, I think there is some good news on the horizon here. There is a large shift towards I think businesses are recognizing the economic opportunities available for renewable energy. I think we just heard I think the previous half hour was all on nuclear energy.
Mm-hmm.
And There is a growing sort of understanding of a need to shift types of energy production. But you bring up a point, and that is that there is an inevitability about some of this. There's no changing the fact that in 2015, we passed 400 parts per million of carbon dioxide for the first time in the history of humans on the planet. And no one on the planet will ever see carbon dioxide concentration below 400 parts per million again. So there is an inevitability that we need to be preparing for. The good news is that, as this report shows as well, we know what those changes are likely to be, and we can start taking action already. And that's happening all over our state. I work with the Wisconsin Initiative on Climate Change Impacts. We work with the Wisconsin DNR, state agencies, DHS. Individuals and groups all around the state who want climate information and so they can prepare for climate change. And so there's that second side of it, that adapting to what we know is coming is really important, and there's a lot of activity in that area.
Stephen, thanks so much for the call. Dan, looking at infrastructure, one of the recommendations calls for designing, developing, and installing green infrastructure to adapt to climate change and protect shorelines and wildlife. What would that look like?
That's a good question. I think some of the green infrastructure people have talked about is trying to increase permeable surfaces to allow more infiltration rather than direct runoff. And you know, when we get these huge events, I'm not sure that green infrastructure is gonna be the total answer. But it is a way of developing a more sustainable urban landscape, and for reducing the amount of warming, reducing things like urban heat island effects, and also for enhancing kind of infiltration of water rather than just having that water run directly into the lakes. So that's one good option. Another thing that we need to be kind of thinking about are our systems that we have in place and the design of systems around a constantly changing background state. And so thinking about changing building codes or thinking about building around expected climatic change. And that's something that a lot of people are thinking about as well.
President Trump spoke about Great Lakes restoration last week at a rally in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And let's hear a bit.
I'm going to get, in honor of my friends, full funding of $300 million for the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative.
So prior to that, the president calling for this $300 million, he had called for spending $30 million, a 90% cut. One of the report's recommendations was to restore the funding for the successful Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. What's your response to the president's commitment there?
I'm glad he's reversed his original decision.
Full stop. Period. Is that it? Can we hear any more?
The Great Lakes Restoration Initiative is very important, and there's a Great Lakes Compact. There's a lot of people trying to develop our understanding and develop political agreements around the Great Lakes, both between states and with Canada as well. These are really important. One of the messages that comes out of climate change, and which I think is actually kind of a silver lining, if you can say this, is that in order to do something to adapt and to prepare ourselves for climate change, we really need to be communicating with each other as a society. And, you know, if climate change is going to cause us to do that, then I'm going to call that a little bit of a silver lining, because it seems to me that we need more of that in our culture right now.
So there's lots of proposals in this report. There are policy recommendations. But for the average person here, what can you do on the individual level to make a difference when you're looking at climate change?
Think about energy efficiency. There's the, you know, you can contribute your own. Think about the ways that you contribute to producing greenhouse gases and so forth. You know, things like switching to renewable energies. I know MG&E has a plan for that, which we take advantage of. Look at energy and efficiency options. Think about these one-time things that you can do. For example, if you're buying a new house or if you have to move for some reason, think if you can move somewhere that you're not going to have to drive a long distance. And all these, you know, all of these are personal choices as well, and we need to balance these against the our own senses of what we care about. The other thing I guess that's really important here is have the conversation. Have conversations with your neighbors. Think about what it means for you. Think about what it means for other people, and talk with other people about what it means to them. Climate change is going to affect every one of us in a different way. And it, again, it's an opportunity for us to converse with each other, get to know each other better, identify where our value systems are, and have that national conversation that needs to be happening to bring this to more of a more of the forefront in issues nationally.
The takeaway for me from this study was that scientists know a whole lot about what impacts the Great Lakes, and that it's very clear to scientists here in the Midwest what is impacting the Great Lakes. Do you see research now moving in a perhaps a different direction that is more of now what can we do to help the Great Lakes, or where is research at?
That's a really astute sort of observation of this. We do have a lot of knowledge. I think in the last say decade or so, we've moved from just looking at changes in the physical climate system to understanding what those changes mean for specific impacts. And I want to emphasize, when we move from just talking about, say, temperature and precipitation to talking about what it means for someone, that process really requires a conversation. So as a climate scientist, I often say that I'm individually the wrong person to be telling anyone about what they should be doing about climate change, because I don't know what's important to people. And so that's why we set up the Wisconsin Initiative on Climate Change Impact. And you see some of this in this report as well, where when given the opportunity to have a conversation with people, I can learn about what's important. I can identify what are the important research topics, and together we can move forward on that.
Dan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
Dan Vimont, Professor of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at UW-Madison, Director of the Center for Climatic Research, contributed to a report from the Environmental Law and Policy Center. Just ahead, we see the world of organ transplants and a life of giving procedures. This is the Ideas Network.